save the dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, rebel scum and loyal to the Empire, this is Sith Talk, the show that talks about Star Wars games, Star Wars TV, Star Wars movies, comics, books, and all. I am your host, Zach Chrisman, a.k.a. the Lord of the Lore, and joining me, after what feels like 5 million years, we are finally together again. Last time was February 8th. I'm not counting, you're counting. Joining me is the Lady of Lore, Lindsay. How are you doing?
I'm good, and I have to be honest, you are so much better at the introduction for this show than I am, so I'm so happy you're back in the pilot seat there, and I get to just enjoy it.
What did you guys... Did you say this episode is sponsored by Zach's face?
Yeah.
I loved that. I loved
that.
That
was your face, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I mean, there's really nothing I can do until we take a look at my bone structure in June. So, I mean, really, it's just like one of two options when it comes to, like, do I get a bone graft? Do I not need one? Can I get implants right away? Which, even then, still take 4 months before you actually get, like, your crown and all that stuff, like, your permanent teeth again. So, like, I won't be able to bite it into an apple, which is okay because I don't eat apples anyway. I won't be able to bite into an apple for, like, until October anyway.
Jeez, boy.
But my temporaries look awesome.
What a way to test out if you have your health insurance.
Well, that's the thing. It is the gym's insurance that is going to be taking care of it. So.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, and it's like kind of a whole ordeal. Like, it might become something like we might have to go to court over it because they're not really wanting to. They're definitely liable, and they're not wanting to take care of it.
Go to the gym, or is this a burning of the bridges type thing?
Me and the gym owner are like best, like, close friends. So, I mean, he understand, like, it's not going to hurt him. He paid the insurance company to go after or to protect him, and they're not protecting him. And if anything, he's like kind of the point where, like, I don't know if I need to look for a new insurance because, you know, I host these, like, grand events, and if somebody got hurt on my event, like, my insurance needs to take care of it, much like our company takes care of our employees when they get hurt on our watch. And if they're not going to do that, you know, I don't want it. Like, so it's in a good place between me and him. I go there, you know, I went there a week and a half after the accident. So.
Jam boy. Oh, yeah. I hope everything works out.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that being said, we have a lot of cool things going on when it comes to Star Wars. We had a Tales of the Empire trailer drop, and then Star Wars Outlaws story trailer dropped. Lindsay, what do you want to talk about first?
Ooh, you know what? Let's do Tales of the Empire, just because I feel like there's maybe a little more to go off of, just since those are some familiar faces. And actually, now that I'm thinking about the trailer for Empire, Tales of the Empire, I think there's really all familiar faces. I'm trying to think if there's anyone really new, and I guess that was the case too with Tales of the Jedi. But yeah, we're getting, what is it, 4 new stories with that next month?
I thought it was 2. Two stories over the whole thing, but I could be wrong.
Okay, yeah, let's look.
I thought
that.
It was because like the Barisoffy.
The Jedi was a good amount. We had a few different, not just like episodes, but stories with Trails of the Jedi.
Right.
Tales of the Jedi. So if they follow that format, I feel like it's gonna be maybe the same characters but different stories. Like, there might be a couple for Barriss, a couple for Morgan. I don't know what the setup's really going to be for that.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer definitely shows, you know, Morgan and Barriss. I didn't see anything else that looks like a separate story. But I am excited to see at the very least what the trailer shown, I'm excited to see that. You know, I wasn't expecting that I would be excited to see Tales of the Empire, like, in title,
I mean,
because I tend to...
Let's be clear, you weren't excited. So, just so everyone knows, Zach had texted me and Brandon that the Tales of the Empire was out, and in a nice little classic mix-up of group texts, he thought that I was not excited for it, and went off about how I get him, and he's also not excited for it, and we can get into all that, but I'm totally going to sell you out right now. But then you watch the actual trailer, and kind of had a change of heart. And now I did just look, it is a total of 6 episodes, but 2 different stories.
Yep.
So now, having seen the trailer, and now we're on the same page with it's going to be 6 episodes, but only 2 stories... What is it that made you change your mind from the initial reaction of we don't need this to this isn't going to be bad?
Just being ignorant and busy, essentially. Essentially, that one was all on me because I was busy at work. I was listening to The Acolyte. I was listening to a different podcast about The Acolyte and what other people thought about it. And then I got this text. Saw the poster without really like kind of looking at it. I'm like, Tales of the Empire. I'm like, great, because Tales of the Jedi is very much short stories with a story around each Jedi per episode. I'm like, oh my freaking God. Like, I mean, it sounds bad, and I get that this is like something for some of our listeners that they, you know, they probably feel a completely opposite way than I do. But when I'm like, oh, yay, more stories in this timeline, I kind of like, it's just like, it was a general thing. I was busy. I was like, oh, yep, Disney's doing another fucking, like, Empire Rebellion thing. Yay. And then I watch the trailer and I'm like, you ass. Like, this is literally, like, this is stuff that actually is important. What I liked about it was Barriss Offee. Everybody's always wondered, what has happened since those Clone Wars episodes? Everybody's theorized about things, jumped to conclusions about, you know, is she in Ahsoka? Is she in Obi-Wan? Who's who? Where? You know, she gets brought up a lot. So the fact that we're actually going to see where she ends up, very, very fascinating. And I would say that's the number one story that I'm excited for. Morgan Elsbeth and Thrawn, I am very excited for, and I think that was a great thing to do. But I'm very excited about Barriss Offee. What I like about this is it isn't short stories about, you know, like what the books were at the beginning of Disney. Like, oh, this will make you understand like why people who signed up for the Empire end up realizing it's bad and leave. And while those books that came out in the beginning were amazing, it became a story thread that eventually got kind of old for me. So the fact that we're answering questions that within animation that the animation fans and the live action, when you're looking at Ahsoka and Thrawn, are asking for, it's a smart move. It's a good move. If you're gonna play in this timeline, this is what you do, in my opinion. If you were going to do this, this is what you do. You tell these stories.
I definitely get the whole it's a tired era to play around in. I think they've done close to anything they really could possibly do. And the last time we saw something truly original, that really felt original and felt connected to what we love about Star Wars, was probably Lost Stars.
Right.
But this is, to your point, something we've been asking for, we've been wondering about, not just on the Barriss side, but what I think is really cool is when Ahsoka came out, Morgan Elsbeth was definitely one of those characters that people had a lot of questions about, whether they were familiar with the Night Sisters of Dathomir, whether it was totally new to them. Whatever camp you were in, I think Morgan Elsbeth is just someone who you can't help but have questions about. So I'm really happy that we're going to start getting questions answered. What I think is cool about this too, though, is it helps tie it into something other than just the early days of the Empire. we can now start to take this and say, and here's how it connects to things, you know, post Return of the Jedi or anything like that. But there's these connecting threads starting to weave the stories all together, which is something that I figured we would see with Morgan at some point. I just thought it was going to be years after the show is done and probably in a book format or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, with stories like this, yes, it is Tales of the Empire. It technically, like the Morgan Elsbeth storyline, falls into that, much like the Inquisitors, but it's kind of like the back end of the Empire type thing. It's not like, oh, we're going to tell a short story about Tarkin. We've been there. We've done that. We've seen that. Or, you know, we're going to do another little short story about Vader. And I'm all for Vader. If you're going to do anything, give me more Vader. I'll take it. But it's something original. It's an original idea in this. I mean, it's old IP and taking story elements, but it's something that they don't normally do in Star Wars, and I appreciate the fact, like, if we're going to play in this timeline, let's play, like, in something unique. And I would classify getting to the Barriss storyline, getting to Morgan Elsbeth, which will add to her for Ahsoka Season 2 and Season 1. Let's do that. If we're going to do it, let's do that.
Do you think that we're going to get something totally groundbreaking here? Because we have Morgan, we have not necessarily Barriss, but we have these other early Inquisitors. Do you think there's going to be any ties or answers into Marok and who that character actually was in any of these stories?
Maybe. So with Morgan Elsbeth, I think we will get something, some kind of bigger reveal that will add and impact the Ahsoka storyline. I think we'll definitely get something bigger on her end. With Barriss Offee, I think we're going to get answers. I don't think we're going to get, like, major, you know, like,
that's,
oh, Barriss Offee becomes a Force Lord, and she's now on Mortis, and she's a god. I don't think we're going to get anything like that. I think we're going to get answers because she is very much a character we've been thinking about the entire time since she was gone. Like, what has happened? Yeah. Where does her story end? And I'm really thankful, like, that they're actually, like, this is a very, like, obviously, like, people have been thinking about this. There is internet. Like, people want to, they know that people want these answers. But, like, to actually get them, I'm like, good for you guys. Like, you guys are taking a story element that is a small niche to the new people coming in. They might be fascinated by it, again, going back to the catalog of Clone Wars. But it's a very good, it's a nice thing. It's a nice story thread. And I'm excited that we're actually getting that answer because it's something that we all think about that isn't like, for me, oh, Mortis, when are we going to get Mortis? It's like a very, it's a character-driven story. And I'm excited to see what happens to this character.
Yeah, this is one that I'm definitely excited for. And I will say, I don't think I would be as excited for it if Tales of the Jedi hadn't exceeded expectations in the way that they did. If that was more of just like it was all right, or something where, like, Visions, where it's, not for me. But because I think I really felt drawn to Tales of the Jedi in a way I wasn't expecting, that definitely helps the anticipation here.
Right. Yeah, so going in from Tales of the Empire, we just recently got a trailer for Star Wars Outlaws, the first open-world RPG Star Wars game that seemingly seems like a crime thriller open-world RPG where you are taking jobs from the underworld, trying to make money. But we just got that story trailer, and I will say, when I first got, like, the gameplay from this, I wasn't overly excited to play this game. Not that I wasn't, like, disappointed by it. I was just like, oh, cool, this is fine. Like, this is cool. And I walked into this trailer being pleasantly surprised. When it comes to open world RPGs, obviously Knights of the Old Republic will always be in the back of my head, like, ah, damn, I wish we were a Jedi. I wish we were doing this, that, whatever. But the moment I sunk into this, I'm telling myself, man, this could be like, obviously not like Grand Theft Auto, but like Grand Theft Auto, like take jobs, make money, see where you can spend your money, like live in this world where you play some shady spice runner, drug runner, gun runner, like take shady deals and get paid and like kind of just be like, Zach, you've always thought about being a Jedi in this world, but you never thought about what it would be like to actually be like a spice runner or a smuggler. Like, and so just by watching this trailer, I'm like, man, I've never actually went down that avenue when it came to Star Wars and my creativity. And so watching this, I'm like, man, you know, this actually looks like kind of fun to just like take jobs and go and do them and get paid for them and, you know, swindle people out. Hopefully you can persuade people to pay you more along your way. I was pleasantly surprised by this trailer, because going in when they showed that like first gameplay trailer, I was underwhelmed, but they didn't really give you much outside of gameplay, so how could you not be? And I'm very like world story feel focused, so that's my like top. What did you think about Outlaws?
Yeah, I was excited to talk to you about it just because you're coming from that different place of you've played more of these games. You know,
it's so negative
about them. I know. Because my thing is just like in the story trailer, there wasn't necessarily anything that really felt Star Wars. You know, we talk all the time about there's those things that just make something feel like Star Wars, and for me, I've said it time and time again, and I'll keep saying it, for me, that's the Jedi, that's the Force. Whereas I think things like, you know, mentioning the different syndicates and having a Crimson Dawn shout-out or a Black Sun shout-out, like, yeah, that's cool, but that doesn't get me hyped up. So that's why I just worry for myself and for others. Like, I love Jedi Survivor because of the Jedi, right? And
right.
Going into that lore and these other elements that I love. Whereas Outlaws, I'm really hoping that once I'm into it and I'm in these worlds, I think a good amount, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be on, like, Canto Bight. And we all know I hate the Canto Bight sequence on Last Jedi. So I'm going to try to put that out of my mind and go into this very openly. But yeah, I just worry that I'm not going to connect with it because it's not necessarily a type of gameplay I'm totally familiar with, and it's not an element of Star Wars that I'm super attracted to and I'm super drawn to. Like, someone asked us in our Facebook group the other day, you and I, going into the comics, like, where do you start? Which ones are the ones, like, you have to read? And I had mentioned it's up to personal preference, right? Like, to me, in my opinion, at least, is that the comics started to get oversaturated with bounty hunter stories. Oh my god, why can I say that? Bounty hunter stories. That's not really my thing. And when it's not really your thing, it starts to seem super repetitive. I'm hoping that there's something in this where I'm going to be like, hell yeah, this is my thing. I was wrong. I actually really do love it. And who knows, maybe it would open me up to some other stories in the future. But I don't know. This trailer didn't really do a lot to get me amped up.
So for me, I guess it didn't like... I'm definitely not amped up, but I'm more in the sense of like... If you have a lot of freedom, like if you can go planet to planet, walk around, the cities have vibes, like Fallen Order is a very good story-driven game. Force powers are really fun. Lightsaber combat, amazing. It's difficult. You feel rewarded. The story, epic, lore is all there. Everything we're going for. But with something like this game, I guess I'm kind of telling myself, like, if I can walk through a city in Star Wars and I can talk to people and people have story threads that I can converse with and I can say, you know, like I see somebody at a bar in a cantina and they're like, hey, I got a job over here, blah, 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 blah. Do you want to take it? Yeah, sure. I'll take it. Sounds good. That seems like fun. Like, if I can live in this world and breathe, because Fallen Order is not like a game where you breathe. You, like, you walk around, you do things. It's action and story 24/7. If this is a game that allows me to, like, breathe and hang out and like, want to save up my money to buy new weapons, ships, clothing, you know, if it's something where I feel like I'm living in this universe, I'm going to be, like, totally okay with this game. I'm going to love it. So I guess, like, the trailer inspired me to give this game a chance. Ultimately, I'm not amped for it. I'm probably not going to buy it day one, but I am going to be cautious to the reviews. I will actually watch reviews for this before I buy, as opposed to, you know, Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. I knew I was going to play no matter what. But I am optimistic about this game. If it hits the open world RPG where you can live, breathe, very much like I'm doing with Baldur's Gate 3 right now, which has, like, consumed my life because it is literally D&D in a video game. Like, this is the best version of playing D&D. And, like, part of D&D is you have action, story, choices. You can go to a bar and just talk to somebody. And that's, I'm not saying I need Baldur's Gate 3 for Outlaws, but, like, if it even does half of what Baldur's Gate 3 does, it's going to make me excited.
All right. I mean, I'm still going to give it a shot. So I like your mentality of it's not necessarily something you're going to rush to.
No.
But there is a lot to potentially look forward to. I do want to ask then, is there any planet from canon, from Legends, or just, is there any type of planet that we've never really seen that you hope we go to in this?
I want to see a planet. I want to go to a planet where somebody has rumored that there's treasure there, and I want to go to a place on a planet and go treasure hunting. Like, ultimately, if there's rumors of, like, oh, you can go to the planet Lindsay and there's, like, treasures everywhere, but it's really hard to find, I want to do that. Like, I don't really, like, I'm not going to get what I want out of this. I'm not going to get, like, a Sith, you know, temple or anything. So I just want to look for crazy, like, if this game just gets me rich and I can do some ghetto shit, like, I'm good with that. Like, just give me some treasure, some fun things to do, and I'll be cool. I don't have, like, any expectations when it comes to what I would normally have in Star Wars, which is, you know, Sith temples, ancient shrines, you know, force using people, learning about that. Like, that's just where I always generate to. But with this, nah, let's have fun. Let's have fun and just kind of rock.
All right. I like it.
So, with that being said, I said that very loud. I'm sorry if I scared our listeners. Me and you have not talked about The Acolyte. Well, actually, one more thing on the top, just for people listening. We don't really have to, like, talk about it. But, you know, it's, to some people, I don't know if many people know listening, Indiana Jones was not exactly a financial success. It actually lost them a fuck ton of money making the film. And who is the director? James Mangold. And normally with Star Wars, you know, if a director has a bad day at the office, even while not working for Lucasfilm, like Colin Trevorrow with the Book of Henry, D&D with Game of Thrones, usually they get fired. They're gone. Even if they're one of the greats. But I am happy to announce, because I've been really nervous about James Mangold and Dawn of the Jedi movie, Bayu Williams joins James Mangold's Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi as co-writer. And this is great news, because he is the screenwriter behind the 3-episode prison arc in Andor Season 1. I've seen some of his other writing stuff. I can't find it right now, but I've been a big fan. But this is good news when it comes to Dawn of the Jedi because it means that this film is actually happening. We're not getting interviews from like Taika Waititi where he's like, I'm still writing it, still doing my thing.
Yeah.
This is good news. So, I mean, like, I just wanted to give it out there.
Not just the good news that he's still attached to it, because you and I are both typically James Mangold fans. With the differences, you gave two examples, Book of Henry with Trevorrow and now Dial of Destiny with Mangold. One thing to keep in mind is while it was certainly not a box office hit by any means, and like you said, they lost money, if you look at their Rotten Tomatoes scores real quick, Indiana Jones did 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, which, yeah, it's not great. But in comparison, Book of Henry only did 22%, meaning only 22% of the reviews, and not just, like, the big reviews. I mean, all the reviews aggregated online, 22% of them were, quote-unquote, positive. And the one thing that I always kind of gripe with a Rotten Tomatoes score, though, is it doesn't necessarily account for strength of sentiment, right? So if a movie's just like, eh, and it generally leans towards like, it wasn't great, it could have a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that doesn't mean it's the worst movie of all time, you know? Whereas the worst movie of all time might actually have a higher one. The other difference, though, is when you actually look at some of these reviews, Dial of Destiny, even the bad ones lean more towards the, it wasn't great. Whereas the Book of Henry bad ones are like, this is absolutely terrible. So I'm happy that they're able to still see the diamond in the rough of Mangold. Whereas Trevorrow, I think maybe they start to understand he was, I don't want to say necessarily a flash in the pan, but he wasn't there for the element of good storytelling.
Yeah, and I mean, like, at the end of the day, you know, where I would be at is if you decided to fire James Mangold, you would be a fucking fool. Like, yeah, he did Indiana Jones, it didn't get received well. But at the end of the day, not shitting on Kathleen Kennedy, but these Hollywood budgets were fucking inflated. This movie makes money if you don't spend what they spent on this movie. This movie was so expensive to make because Lucasfilm thought it would be a $1 billion movie. And I don't understand. Hollywood in general has been spending so much money on movies. Like Fast and the Furious was over $400 production when you count marketing. And Indiana Jones was like somewhere towards like $350 million to make the movie and market it. That's insanely high, and that's not giving anybody a win-win when you look at these like tiny movies that Blumhouse does with like Megan or Five Nights at Freddy's. These movies cost nothing to make and they turn a profit and everybody's happy, and it makes the director look good. James Mangold, regardless of if this was his mistake, whatever, you don't say no to him. He's a staple in Hollywood. And one of the things that I think, you know, gets misrepresented, like sometimes when I'm critiquing Star Wars, I don't have a problem with directors taking their shot, which is why I think people who don't like Last Jedi, there shouldn't be hate like, oh, Rian Johnson sucks. He fucking sucks. Fuck him. It should be like, Rian Johnson, and I love The Last Jedi. I mean, I could do without the Canto Bite scenes as well. But what they got right, in my opinion, they got right. But we should be praising people for taking their shot. It's just for me, which is a hot topic for you, The Rise of Skywalker, Obi-Wan in certain aspects, Book of Boba Fett. It's when we're trying to rush things or not have the scripts together, or we're trying to throw it together and make it work, which, regardless of if you like Rise of Skywalker or not, J.J. Abrams was under an impossible timeline that they just simply would not move. They could have said, we're going to pause for a minute, get this thing ready to go, and really give it a good effort, and then we're going to come back out with it. Or, like, you know, with the TV shows like Book of Boba Fett, like, what are we doing here? How does the production look? We do not need to use the volume. Like, a director taking their shot and missing is totally fine with me. It's when the studio and the director are just throwing shit together and hoping for the best. So I think James Mangold taking a shot with Indiana Jones, I think that's a good thing. You know, it didn't work for everybody and not everybody loved it, but taking a shot is not the bad thing as long as your intent is to come out with the best swing forward.
Yeah, and there's unfortunately so many examples of the throwing it together. For as much as I love Rise of Skywalker, I can admit that. Solo was the ultimate clusterfuck, which could have had some cool potential, and it was just kind of fumbled. But yeah, I definitely see what you're saying in terms of trusting the process to play out and seeing how it does, which is a great segue into The Acolyte, because I think it's really cool the more of these interviews that come out, it seems like they're actually giving this show room to breathe. You know, Leslie Howland has that one quote about, you know, yeah, I'm throwing stuff in from the expanded universe. I love, too, that she still calls it the expanded universe, not even Legends. But she says, you know, just because no one told me I couldn't. So I love that it seems like they are really trusting her. And how many times have we heard over and over, like, you know, hey, I really worked closely with Dave and I worked closely with John. And while Dave and John are incredible at what they do, you really do see their influence in absolutely everything, whereas this looks like it's going to be totally original, and I think that they are going to try a lot of new stuff here for the first time, and I think it could potentially really work out.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, I'm going to keep doubling down on these words, so like, don't be at me because I'm repetitive, dog, but I'm going to be. Everything's riding on this. You guys want to see Dawn of the Jedi. You want to see more High Republic stories. There's a lot riding on this. So the fact that Lucasfilm is taking a showrunner and not shackling them down and saying, you know, this is our parameters. We don't want to say too much about the Sith because we want to save this for later on. We don't want you to talk about too much of the EU because we don't want to give any implications. They're giving her full rein, and I swear to God, every time this woman speaks, I'm just like, I'm just
more
like
more excited
chef's
and
fucking
entranced.
Kiss.
Yeah.
Chef's fucking kiss.
Yeah.
And it's not, she's not saying things like, you know, Revan is going to appear or Darth Bane's going to appear. She's talking like a fucking Star Wars fan. She's talking like somebody who actually knows the material and didn't just go to the writer's team and say like, oh, hey, I got this like kind of character. What can I do here? Well, he kind of fits in with Saw Gerrera, so you can like kind of do that. And I'm not throwing shade on Rogue One, but there are directors that are quite literally, you know, they're not fans of the material, and I don't think you need to be a fan because you have people like Tony Gilroy who aren't fans, but there are certain directors that just come in and they're like, I'm going to take my swing, forget these things, and I'm definitely like not on the line with certain podcasters / YouTubers where everything needs to be EU, George, all of that. I don't believe that, but, and I'm not expecting that from this show. But every time she talks like a Star Wars fan. She's talking about the EU. She's talking about the differences between EU and Legends, certain things she's picking out of both, what she likes about the EU, what she likes about the new stuff, and kind of combining it. And the way she analyzes characters so far when she's just describing them, like even like with Vernestra Rowe and like taking these dynamics of a High Republic character, the book people, the showrunners talking to the book people, reading the books, handling all this stuff about like trying to make sure that she can make us all feel like whatever level of Star Wars you're into, she's going to make you feel welcome. Because it's like, even with her talking about Lee Jung's character and Vernestra Rowe, she has a comment about what life is meant for. And she says, because Vernestra has been around for so long, she basically has met everyone that has come through the temple and seen them all die their natural deaths if they're living a natural human life. She's known Sol since he was a tiny child, and now he's a Jedi Master. And I find like I find these dynamics so rich, so original. And when you throw her into this world, I don't know. I'm rambling so much, but I love Leslie. We have not even seen 5 minutes of the show. And I'm still nervous about the 30-minute episodes. But she has done that with Russian Doll. She has a background of coming up with good film in 30 minutes per episodes. That's the only thing I'm nervous about. I think she's going to knock it out of the fucking park.
I mean, what I think is just so cool, though, is she is showing us what a fan she is and that this is coming from a fan. Whereas every other director, not to throw shade, because whether you like them or not, but how often have we all sat through those celebration panels where they spend 10 minutes convincing us that they're Star Wars fans, right? Hey, I played with the toys. I saw the movies with my parents when I was younger. Whereas she's sitting here and she knows the vernacular. She knows how to talk to us, how to get us excited. She's never really had to sit there and been like, oh my God, I grew up with Star Wars. I read all these books. I love it. She's just jumping right into it. And it feels like, honest to God, hearing her talk feels the exact same as being in line for something at Celebration and turning and talking to the person next to you, where no one's having to defend, like, who's the bigger fan or anything. It's just, hey, we're all here because we love this, and we get really, really deep. We don't just love this on the surface level. We love this on this really deep emotional level. So it's just so cool listening to her talk about this and some of the stuff that she might have planned. And it makes me just trust where she's going and what she's going to do. And to be totally honest with you, I have not watched Russian Doll. I realized
I probably should.
Okay, yeah, maybe we'll do a little watch party. Just because, to me, what I usually get nervous about is in these kind of mystery-type thrillers, it's a really fine line between, hey, this was a really great twist and I didn't see this coming, and where the fuck did that just come from? It doesn't make any sense. So that's the one thing that I get nervous about with all of these kind of mystery-esque stories, is just, are they going to tread that line pretty well? But I don't know. I kind of think she might. I just hope it's nothing too obvious, but it's also nothing too crazy out there where we're just like, well, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, I think if... because of her background, you know, I've heard a lot of people speak about Russian Doll. Have not seen it myself, but it was something that people really, really enjoyed. And so if she has a background in 30-minute storytelling, I'm okay with that. I am nervous about it because I do feel like the Star Wars, the Marvel stuff, there's not moments to breathe because the pace is so quick, and I think that's important with the show. I feel like having moments to breathe, air it out, have important conversations within the show. I am nervous, and I am quite, you know, tired of the 30-minute episodes. But then when you look at things like X-Men 97 right now, you know, I can't, like, everybody's blowing my phone up about episode 5 that came out yesterday that I haven't seen. And that's 30-minute storytelling. And ultimately, like, right now, I'm pretty back and forth with that. And I'm willing to, like, go for the ride. Ultimately, because, and I'm not trying to poo-poo on Brandon. I love you, Brandon. If you're listening, you are the man. Do you think The Acolyte is about a Sith Lord? Because to me, it's like, water wet, and I can't get rid of this analogy that this would be like calling it Star Wars Padawan, and it's not about a Padawan. Like, The Acolyte, do you think The Acolyte is about the Sith? Because to me, I'm like, yes, 100%, no brainer.
Yeah, I've been saying it since the day this show was announced and we had this name. You immediately have to go back to the one other place we've really seen the word Acolytes in Star Wars. Acolytes of the Beyond. There is no way you're going to tell me that they're getting their name from the Sith, and then we have a show with this name and it's not going to be about the Sith. I'm not saying that we are going to, you know, see the inner workings of the Sith in every single episode. We might not even see it at all or see any certain type of dynamic. But to me, there's just no shot in hell this is just about some kind of, like, sinister being, and it's called the Acolyte, and it's not related to the Sith.
Thank you. That was my, also, red lightsaber in the trailer. Like, had that not happened, I would be even more open to listen to an argument like that. Where it's like, well, you know, maybe, you know, it's all about somebody just trying to find the Sith, and they find some dark shit, but never find the Sith, but...
Yeah.
The fact that you see in the 1 minute trailer, you see a red lightsaber and a flash of dark side energy, just like one person against all these Jedi. Obviously you don't see facial structures or anything, but clearly they don't mind doing it. They're not fucking worried about fighting all these Jedi. Like, I don't know who else can do that.
I mean, let's think of the main argument, though, for people who are saying it can't be the Sith, right? The main argument is you now have Mace Windu and the Jedi Council saying it can't be the Sith. They've been extinct for a millennia.
I love that you brought that up, girl,
because I was ready to
bring that up. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's go. I'm fucking ready.
Let's go. Because my thing is, it's the line in Pirates of the Caribbean is what sticks out to me here, right? That there can't be any stories if there's no survivors. And I forget the exact quote in Pirates of the Caribbean, but they're saying, you know, hey, there's all of these stories going around about this, and there were no survivors. And someone says, well, if there were no survivors, where did the stories come from? And if you take that and flip it on set here, if there's no survivors, there's not going to be any stories. So isn't it completely possible that we walk out of this series and this is, in fact, the saddest show we've ever seen in Star Wars, and our protagonists are going to be killed and no one knows why? Is that not entirely possible?
It's absolutely impossible, but when people quote the Ki-Adi Mundi thing, okay, I'm thinking, like, the first thing that goes to my head is, so how did the Jedi fall? Huh. They're fucking hubris. Like, they thought, like, they were blind to all of it. And why do you think that was? The Jedi became so close-minded at the end, so code-based, and so absolute in their thoughts themselves. I mean, like, Obi-Wan says, only a Sith deals in absolutes, but, like, the Jedi were very black and white. At that point, the Jedi were very black and white. And I mean, like, if you want to do Jocasta Nu, if it is not on the records, it does not exist. Did it fucking exist? So we took a Jedi's word that said, if it is not on the Jedi archive records, it does not exist. And then George, ultimately in the movie, said, well, this Jedi was wrong. So, like, you got, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say the name. You got Star Wars Theory coming out with all this bullshit. You got, like, countless of these other YouTubers' podcasts who, well, in George's canon, Ki-Adi Mundi said this. Okay, yeah, but George contradicted the Jedi's truth in his own movies. So if you want to go with George, he already had a Jedi that was fucking stuck up and lying and didn't want to even go down Obi-Wan's path and was being snooty, didn't even want to listen to him. So why wouldn't Ki-Adi Mundi be wrong? The Sith have been extinct for a millennia. That means they all have to die? No, it just means some other freaking Jedi just either mishapped or didn't. Like, Ki-Adi Mundi had his mind made up. That's the thing. They don't all have to die. There could be another closed-minded Jedi, or we don't know how this is going to go about. But regardless,
even if there are survivors, they all could say, like, hey, look, this is not going to be good if the panic gets out there. Let's keep this to ourselves. We also even know from Dooku Jedi Lost that there's an entire section of the Jedi archives that are forbidden. What's in there, right? This is something that could easily just be there. There are so many different ways that this can go where it's, I don't want to say it's, you know, a complete Jedi cover-up and they knew all along, but things could have been lost along the way so, so easily. And you talking about the, you know, if it's not in the archives, it doesn't exist, is the perfect, perfect example of it.
What's funny is it just popped in my head. I wasn't thinking about that, but it just popped up in my head. that George contradicted George in a good way. Like, he was giving you signs that these Jedi are not getting the point. That they're not getting the point. And who knows... And here's the thing. We know where the Jedi are at in the High Republic, where we're reading. We know where the Jedi are at the point of the Phantom Menace. We don't know where these Jedi are at. Maybe at the end of all of this, they, you know, maybe at the end of the show, they have seen Sith, and a character sees Sith, and or a group of them, and maybe they discuss with each other, like, you know, we just got through this whole galactic thing with the Nihil. The galaxy is just now recovering from that. If we make this full scale, when, you know, maybe the end of it is they thought they defeated them, but it was the apprentice, you know, and the master still remained in the shadows. But either way, there's room for an honest, open conversation of the Jedi defeat this Sith Lord or one of them, whatever it is. Maybe there's a conversation like, we just got out of this war with the Nihil. The galaxy is finally stabilizing. We don't need to report about this, because if we report about this, this is going to send the galaxy into a panic, or the Jedi into a panic that we just got out of, that we can't afford to make, especially when we killed them. They might have thought that they had wiped them out. You know, they might have thought that the Sith were gone and they just shut them down again. And maybe the secret they want to bury to spare the galaxy, you know, panic and turmoil. Maybe there's reasons why this got swept under the rug, if it does, in fact, get swept under the rug. Point is, for the Star Wars fan base to say, when everybody, you know, everybody's been so psyched about this, that the moment the trailer came out, then we started quoting Ki-Adi Mooney. I'm like, where was all this, like, the last 3 years when we've all been hyped about it? It doesn't make sense to me. Let the story, like, this is prime, let the storytellers tell the fucking story before we already give them walls. Because I need walls in Star Wars to be broken down, not put up. I'm tired of the gatekeeping. I'm tired of sticking in the same timeline to play it safe. I want Kathleen Kennedy to knock down all the walls and say, let's fucking go, free reign, let's have fun.
And I think we're about to have it. I really do.
Yeah, me too. Oh.
No, I'm absolutely in camp. We're going to see a Sith.
Yeah, me too. Any final thoughts?
Oh, no, man. Just that I'm excited. And honestly, my biggest thought with this is it is so cool and so refreshing to have gotten this trailer. And even like the deep, deep dives that you can go into with this trailer are maybe like 10, 15 minutes long, because for the first time in how long, you can't just go back and be like, and this connects to this, and here's this little thing that's directly related to The Empire Strikes Back, or anything like that. This is totally new and totally fresh for the first time in how long, and I didn't realize until the day that trailer dropped, and there were no crazy deep dives or super big theories yet, just how badly we needed it.
You're not going to be stuck on your honeymoon while this happens, right?
I sound stuck
like it's a bad thing. Let me rephrase. You're not going to be on your honeymoon when this comes out.
We are scheduled to come back that afternoon that it comes
Holy
out.
Shit.
So as long as flights on time and flights come in pretty well and traffic's all right, we should be back and
you're going
to
be fainting.
And so that's the other thing too. I didn't say it here, but like I'm excited because since it is so non-connected to everything, Tyler is actually going to watch it with me, and he never watches these with me because he knows like, well, I can't just jump into this. I can't just jump into that. You know, I'm going to need to watch 18 hours of something else to get it. But now he's actually even pretty excited just because this is so totally new that he can jump into it. So that's, I feel like, kind of cool for the first night that we're home as husband and wife. We get to do a new Star Wars show together.
Hell yeah, and then we get to talk about it a couple days after.
Thank God.
I'm excited. But with that being said, guys, that is this episode of Sith Talk. Where can you find Sith Talk? Oh, everywhere, under the Clashing Sabers podcast feed. I You can find me at SithTalker25 talking virtually nothing but Spartan races, Deccas, food that I'm going to be eating. Lately, WrestleMania, I'm not even going to unpack that. Become a wrestling fan. What do you want from me? Anyway, Lindsay, where can they find you and tell us more about what we do here at Clashing Sabers?
So you guys can, for the first time in years, find me once again on not Twitter anymore, X. At the Lady of Lore. You can also find me over in our, as I mentioned before, our Clashing Sabers Facebook group, Star Wars Clashing Sabers. So definitely head over there. We have a ton of great discussions, like I mentioned in this episode. Zach and I love when people ask for our thoughts, or better yet, argue with our thoughts. So head on over there and see what those conversations are all about. But also, first and foremost, before we are a podcasting network, Clashing Sabers is a nonprofit. Our goal is to get books in the hands of students all across the country, especially, no surprise here, Star Wars books. These are stories that really shaped us into who we are today, and obviously so important that we do that for the next generation, as well as really helping the literacy across the country. So if you can, we would love for you to sign up for our Patreon. We also get, though, that that's not always an option for everyone. Totally cool. Another thing you can do is head over to clashingsabers.net and let us know if there is a teacher or a school that you would like us to send some books to. But really, Facebook and Patreon are the best ways to get in touch with us.
And with that being said, guys, in an age of light, a darkness rises.
Ooh.
All Clashing Sabers productions are the intellectual property of the Clashing Sabers Network and ClashingSabers.net. All licensed sounds and images are the property of their respective copyright holders and are used for informational and educational purposes only. For more information on our nonprofit or to nominate a teacher, go to ClashingSabers.net. For questions or inquiries, please email us at ClashingSabersNetwork@gmail.com.
You're just going to walk away?